Thank you. So we've got a new series this morning. We're going to be looking at Hosea, and we're going to be focusing on, well, the whole theme for this series is a relentless love. But this morning we're going to be in Hosea 1, going from verse 1 to verse 11, so all of the ones this morning. You can find that in your Bible. The words will appear on the screen in a moment, but you can fact check me along as well if you want to open the one that you brought with you. Hopefully, maybe. It doesn't matter. I have brought something with me this morning that is a little bit contentious in modern culture. Do you want to have any guesses what it is?
AI.
I've written the sermon. No, I haven't. I've bought one of these. Has anyone ever used one of these? Somebody shouted out it's a dog lead. It's a kid lead. Has anyone used these on kids, grandkids? This one's shaped like a dinosaur because it's fun. It tries to make the whole scenario a little bit more fun. So I like this because I use this with Sydney, partly because he looks a little bit silly wearing it. But some people don't like these because it implies that we might be walking our children a little bit like a Labrador. But we use it. I've got one. I put it on Sydney. Sydney walks the dog. I walk Sydney. I walk the other dog that's not so compliant and is a little bit grumpy. And the whole point of this isn't about pulling him back when he's... Sydney's not aware, is he? Well, you might not know. He's two. He's not very aware. So as we're walking along the road, Sydney will see a beautiful pine cone and want to pick it up. And that's absolutely fine. Pine cones are beautiful, and I would encourage him to pick it up and play with it. The problem is that pine cone is in the middle of the road, and there's a car coming. This is quite handy. And when we read Hosea, we enter into this wider conversation about the covenant of God and what the Israelites had gone into with that and where God stands with it. And I think this harness is a good illustration of that. The handle isn't pulled in anger, I promise you. And the harness isn't used to just control for the sake of it. But when your child that you hopefully love goes into the road, you are going to grip onto it a little bit more keenly. That's it, we're done. No, we're gonna read through Hosea 1 to 11. There are some beautiful names and beautiful words in this, so we're going to be kind to each other as we read this, but this is what it says. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reign of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, 'Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord.' So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, 'Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day, I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel.' Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, 'Call her Lo-Ruham, which means not loved, for I will no longer show love to Israel, that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to Judah, and I will save them. Not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses and horsemen, but I, the Lord their God, will save them. After she had weaned, Lo, Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. Then the Lord said, call him Lo Ami, which means not my people. For you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the Israelites will be like sand on the seashores, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where I said to them, you are not my people, they will be called children of the living God. The people of Judah and the people of Israel will come together. They will appoint one leader, and they will come out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. You can't read that and not feel sorry for the kids, can you? I think Hosea is one of the strangest and most uncomfortable books in the Bible. I think it's probably second only to reading Song of Songs in front of your parents. But in it, Hosea uses this image of life to explain how God is feeling and how this nation, this group of people have grieved God. And we're going to dig into that a little bit. We're going to hold it in the context of covenant and communion, because that is what this morning is about as well. But before we do anything else, I just want to give a tiny nugget of context. Within this passage where we talk about Israel, we're talking about the covenant people of God. So through the Abraham lineage, this group of people that God has called his people and has set aside for relationship, for purpose and covenant. Particularly, this is in the northern kingdom of Israel, which we're talking about at the moment. We're not talking about the nation state as we know it today. So just for context, when God says he has abandoned them, and it's within that, in this passage. But within the book, Hosea talks about idol worship. He talks about abandoning God. He talks about abandoning the covenant that had been set out through Moses. And covenant and covenant love is really important, and it's really countercultural. Because when we think about love without covenant, or if we think about like modern culture, if we're going to be really scathing about modern culture's view on love, we might say that we love, or people would love or show love when it works for them, while it keeps them happy, or whilst their needs are being met. But covenant love is really different. In Exodus 6:7, this is the start of God's covenant with his people. He says, I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. God has bound himself to this group of people. It's not a convenience thing. It is a deliberate joining and a deliberate binding. But by the time we get to Hosea, this has been lost. So this is Exodus. This is a little while before Hosea and God's people journey with him. And in that time, they just slip away. And they let idolatry slip into their world. And they let other purposes slip into their world. And they forget the promise of covenant that they made to God. And that's where Hosea comes in. And God uses Hosea in this very deliberate human example of love and heartbreak and loss to show what's spiritually going on within God's people. And the point of that isn't that God's belittling human pain. I don't know if we don't need to do hands or anything like that, but I'm sure we have all experienced heartbreak, maybe not to the extreme that Hosea is talking about, but we've all had disappointment, we've all had human pain and hurt, and God knows that that grieves us and it hurts us and it sits with us a long time after the event itself. And that's why he deliberately uses this with Hosea. It's not to belittle the human experience. It's to bring in our reality what God is feeling in that moment. And throughout that passage, we see signs of God's heartbreak. We see it predominantly in the names of the kids. We won't ask whether they got bullied at school or not, but Jezreel, judgment. Lo Ruhamah, not loved. Lo Ami, not my people. These are the consequences of God's people turning away from God. And when we turn away from God, when we forget the promise that God has put in our on our life, in our hearts sometimes, we shift focus, don't we? We might put idols, whatever they may look like, wealth, success, fame, Instagram followers, the money in your bank account, the car in your driveway, your postcode, we might put those above God. We might choose to spend time in ways which don't honour, give joy or worship to God rather than ones that do. And that's what's happened. But the really interesting thing about Hosea, and the reason why we're doing this as a series, because we don't just do big Bible dives for the sake of doing big Bible dives and going through a book. This brings purpose and life to our faith now, because Hosea is not a book about God's people climbing their way back to the grace of God. Hosea is a book all about God's relentless pursuit of a people that have disappointed him, that are broken, and they know their brokenness, and the story of God chasing after them in that. There's a beautiful Bible verse. Now, we hold this series and we hold this book in context, and we're not saying, or Gary and I were joking about things before. The character of God remains unchanged. The method in which he outworks that throughout our Old Testament and our New Testament is sometimes circumstantial. So the message that God is displaying through Hosea, this message of grace and redemption, is the same message that we see in Jesus Christ, which is why this Romans verse works. We don't hold Old Testament and New Testament as completely separate things. God is God throughout all of them. And in Romans 5:8 says this: God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So we look at Hosea as people that know, hopefully experience and encounter the risen Christ. And we recognize that Christ comes for us, not when we've earned it, not when we've redeemed ourselves or become impressive enough. Christ comes for us when we were sinners. The Christian story isn't about become good enough so that God will love you. The Christian story is all about God loves you so relentlessly that through Jesus, he comes after you. He comes after you even when you were wandering. And that's what grace is. That's exactly what grace is. It's not us or God pretending that sin doesn't matter. Grace is God refusing to let sin have the final word. Did you see, well, the passage that we read is quite terribly depressing up until the last verse, and I think that's deliberate, and I think it's good, and it shows us that even when God is judging, he's restoring. He's telling his people that they've failed him, they've disappointed him, they've moved away from him, and Hosea's going to be living that out through his life. But there's hope at the end, because it says this: yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured and counted in the place where it was said, you are not my people. They will be called children of the living God. Even here, God's restoring, right? He said, in this place where you were condemned, in this place where you felt like you were abandoned, in this place where I said, you don't belong to me, I don't recognize you anymore, in that place, people will say, you are children of the living God. And we need to be reminded of that, don't we, today in our lives? Because sometimes there's moments in our lives where we think, I have probably exhausted the patience of God, or I've done this thing, or this collection of things that have been so great that God surely cannot like or want me near him anymore. But Hosea reveals a God whose love can't be broken. Jesus is the outworking of a God whose love can't be broken. And it's not dependent on our consistency. It's not dependent on whether we show up or do enough. Because God's love doesn't give up and God's love does not let go of us. It's the toddler harness, right? Sydney definitely does not understand why I am holding on to him when he's got this on. And sometimes he pulls away, and sometimes that's because his perspective of a lovely day out is running wherever he wants to run. But from a different perspective, from my perspective, if we look at Hosea, from God's perspective, staying connected means something different, right? It means sometimes when we pull away from God, sometimes we trust other things in God, or sometimes we resist God, again, God keeps moving towards us, keeps holding on to that little harness, keeps standing at a distance and shouting that he loves us, coming by Jesus and forgiving all of our sins. And Jesus' story is God himself turning up for unfaithful, sinful, broken people. Jesus that ate with sinners. Jesus that touched the leopard first before speaking healing over him. Jesus who moved towards the lost. Jesus who speaks forgiveness over failures. And ultimately on the cross displays love through grace. And in the Last Supper, Jesus sort of completes this covenant story that was initially spoken over God's people, is made right here, there. It says in Luke 22:20, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And in a moment, we're going to come to communion and we're going to take this cup of the new covenant and we're going to eat the bread and then we're going to remember Jesus. And the ordinariness of this meal here, because it's not really a meal, it is bread and wine, is what makes it so important. And it links to Hosea and it links to our lives now. The holy moment of communion doesn't come from holy people standing around this table. The power of communion comes from imperfect people gathering together, handling bread and wine, because it's found in Jesus. Jesus meeting ordinary, imperfect people with grace. As Baptists, we believe in the priesthood of all believers. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. We all come here equally by grace. I am not special. And the moment is holy because Christ is present with us in that moment. Not because certain people are more spiritually impressive, because none of us here are spiritually impressive to mediate for God. We come equally by grace to this table because this is where Jesus meets his people. This is where we remember covenant. And just like the message of Hosea and that covenant, it's never been about impressive people earning God's love. It's always been about God's relentless faithfulness. So maybe as we take communion, this might be a question for you. As we celebrate this, we're not celebrating how tightly we've held on to God. we're celebrating how tightly God has held on to us. See, a question for you as you take communion, or an invitation. Maybe you need to stop resisting the God that's never given up on you. Maybe you need to invite him into your life. Maybe you need to say yes to God for the first time or again. Because the story of Hosea isn't just a coincidence for a group of people at a set time. It's in our book, and our book brings life and it speaks life. And there are things in each of our lives that we put in the way of God doing what God wants to do. There's things in our lives that we build above God. And this meal that we're going to take is a reminder that Jesus is Lord, that he has completed that covenant, and he wants to be in every part of your life. So shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you that your love is deeper than our wandering. We thank you that your faithfulness is stronger than our inconsistency. And we thank you that while we were sinners, you came for us. So Lord, where we feel shame, speak grace. Where we feel distant, draw near. Where we have wandered, we pray that you would bring us home. And Lord, as we come to this table, remind us again that this covenant wasn't built on perfection, but on your relentless love for us. Amen.